Live from the historic parsonage of the 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27 verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now, here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Thursday on this fourth day of June 2020. And I am thrilled to have, as a first-time guest today, Thomas Parr, pastor of Cornerstone Baptist Church in Anacortes, Washington, which is a Reformed Baptist congregation. He's also contributing editor to the Lexham Context Commentary and author of the volume on the Gospel of Mark in that series. Today we are going to be addressing his book, Backdrop for a Glorious Gospel, The Covenant of Works, according to William Strong. And it's my honor and privilege to welcome you for the very first time ever to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Pastor Thomas Parr.
It's great to be with you, Chris.
And I'm going to give our email address out right away for our listeners. If you'd like to join us on the air with a question of your own, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Please give us at least your first name, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. And please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Let's say a issue of theology comes up that you are having a bone of contention over it with your own pastor, and you don't want to draw attention to your identity, obviously. That would be a good reason to be anonymous. You might even be a pastor who's in disagreement with your fellow elders over something we bring up, or your denomination. Well, obviously, being anonymous is a good idea. But if it's not a personal and private issue, please give us at least your first name, city and state, and country of residence. Before we go into your personal testimony of salvation, because whenever we have a first-time guest on this show, we like them to give a summary of their salvation story, including the religious atmosphere they were raised in, if any, and what our sovereign Lord raised up in their lives in regard to matters of providence that drew my guests to Christ and saved them. But before we do that, tell our listeners about Cornerstone Baptist Church in Anacortes, Washington.
Sure. I moved out to Anacortes in 2006, August, in fact, so almost 14 years now, and planted a church here, so it's a church plant, and we started out with about maybe three families in the church. They didn't have a church that they felt they could attend in town. They asked me to come, so I came, started the church. It's grown to maybe 25 families, so it's a smaller town. It's about 20,000 people, so I'm pretty happy with that growth. Although, of course, you don't judge a church by the number of people that comes. But just so thankful for how the Lord's blessed, and so thankful that I've had the incredible privilege of being able to preach the Word and reform theology to the people here.
Well, praise God. And for anybody who wants to look up more information about Cornerstone Baptist Church of Anacortes, Washington, you can go to cornerstoneanacortes.com, and Anacortes is spelled A-N-A-C-O-R-T-E-S. cornerstoneanacortes.com, and hopefully we'll remember to repeat that later. Now let's move on to a summary of your salvation testimony.
Sure. So I was saved in 1992. I was about 22 years old. And I was an adult when I became a Christian. I had been raised in a Christian home. We lived in rural Idaho, so talk about the backwater of the backwaters. And we were raised in just community churches, little Baptist churches that where they weren't affiliated really, kind of just little independent churches there. And I'd heard the gospel about Christ. I'd heard it pretty much my whole life. And I just didn't want it when I was a teenager. I don't think I could have been honest when I was a teenager. If somebody had asked me, why don't you want Christ, I would have said I had him already, you know, because I was flying under the radar and I was trying to appear good to all the people that I knew. But I know now that I didn't want Christ at the time, and I didn't want to believe the gospel, because I knew that if I put my faith in Christ and his death on the cross for me, that then I would be bound to love him and serve him, and I simply didn't want to do what he says to do. I wanted my freedom. And so I pursued that throughout my teenage years and all the things that typically go along with it, a lot of evil. But when I was 18, I went through kind of a self-reformation where I didn't like the direction my life was headed, so I changed my ways kind of on my own strength. And so it was funny because throughout most of my teenage years, it was just follow the ways of the world, and then beginning at age 18, it was, okay, now let's be honorable. And both ways without Christ are vain. Vanity of vanity. All is vanity. And I really sensed that when I was 22 and just came to a point where I felt wretched in my sin and like I'd been running from God my whole life. And whether I was, you know, wallowing in sin or whether I was trying to posture and make myself seem good, I was just running from God. And so my mind went back to all the Sunday school lessons I'd heard my whole life when I was a kid. And I went and bought a Bible. I was just go back to my house. I was living alone, and I'd go back to my house after working, and I'd sit down and I'd read the Gospels over and over again. And I met my master reading the Gospels by myself. And
wow!
My life just transformed, and I turned to Christ and put my faith in Him, and realized that I had been a rebel, and that I desperately needed Him. So somebody told me to read the Gospel of John after I got saved, because I was going to a little Baptist church there in Idaho, and somebody said, you ought to read the Gospel of John. So I read John. When I got to John 6, three of the 5 points of Calvinism are right there in John chapter 6.
That's right.
Or 2. And I realized, okay, so I thought I had put my faith in Jesus, and I did, of course, but I realized now that he had been after me, and it wasn't just an autonomous decision, that he had drawn me to himself. Just as he says there in John 6:37, that he draws people to himself. So I began to realize, okay, there's something way bigger here than I thought was going on. And that was actually awe-inspiring to me, and it made me love God more. And I went to college, then I ended up going to PRTS later on in life, and about 25 years ago, I was introduced to the Puritans, and I've been reading the Puritans ever since, my own theological studies. So it's just been, you know, a wonderful experience. Just having those initial discoveries of the wonders of Christ's love there in the Gospel of John and my Bible reading just continually worked out in my life and just confirmed. It's been great. Of course, came out and planted a church in 2006, so I think that probably summarizes it pretty well.
And by the way, I don't know if you're even aware of this, but Chapel Library, which is an excellent resource for phenomenal works by especially predominantly men of the past, but they do have some contemporary writers, but they have an excellent booklet. Most of their printed material or is in booklet form, extractions from larger books and so on. But they have a booklet called The Doctrines of Grace in the Gospel of John. And that is a real excellent booklet by R. Bruce Steward. And it just shows you how it's amazing that a person who believes in the inerrancy of Scripture could read the Gospel of John and not see the doctrines of sovereign grace in there.
Amen.
So, when did you come to realize that you have been given a call by God to join the ministry?
Yeah. Well, I went to college in 95 and heard Mark Minnick preach. I'm not sure if you've ever heard of Mark Minnick.
Yes, I've heard of him. I don't know him, though.
Yeah, pastor of Mount Calvary Baptist Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Anyway, phenomenal preacher, absolutely wonderful preacher. And he really said it. He's very expositional. He's very Calvinistic. And I just sat under his ministry for several years and grew and realized this is what I want to do. What he's doing is what I want to do. And, of course, my heart was for the Pacific Northwest because that's where I was from. And so after a while, back in about 2005, I started kind of testing the waters out here and ended up coming out to plant a Reformed Baptist church.
Praise God. Well, tell us about the main figure in this conversation today, other than the main theme that triumphs overall is, of course, the glorious gospel.
Amen.
But tell us about William Strong, about the era that he lived in, and why he is such an important figure to you that you would draw wisdom for a theme like this from him specifically.
Yeah, that's a great question. Well, Strong was a member of the Westminster Assembly, and I have over the years grown to massively respect the Westminster Standards. And I have just kind of a general respect for the Puritans. I feel like they forgot more theology than we presently know. I wanted to be taught by them. I wanted to kind of sit at their feet, so to speak. You know, when I went to Greenville and found Mark Minnick's preaching, it was wonderful to just be taught the word by somebody who knew it better than me. And I think we all have that experience. We all listen to preaching because we hope that the preacher has insights that we can glean so that we can know God better and understand the word better. And so that's really why I wanted to study the Puritans. And I ended up studying Strong because I ended up with his book. RHB put out a facsimile of his book, A Discourse of the Two Covenants. And
that's Reformation Heritage Books for our listeners who aren't familiar with
yes,
that.
Yeah. And so I got my hands on that. I was reading it, and it's absolutely, it seems impenetrable. It seems like it's impossible to read, but I've always kind of liked a challenge. So I started reading it, and I was blown away with the depth that this guy had. He just understood the Bible. He was doing exegesis. Sometimes the Puritans get, I think, unfairly accused of cherry-picking Scripture and just proof-texting in the basis sort of way. And here was Strong doing some very insightful exegesis, supporting his covenant theology. And so I just fell in love with it. I mean, I love history, church history. I love the Puritans. Strong lived in the time of the English Civil War. He came to prominence in the 1640s. He actually preached at, get this, Westminster Abbey for 4 years before his death in 1654.
Wow.
So he was the preacher at the Abbey. I mean, that's the chief religious building in the Western world, really. And so he was there. He was the pastor of the independent church that met there. And so, you know, he was a very significant guy. He also, after the Restoration, when Charles II came back in 1660, Charles exhumed Strong's body and cast it into a common grave because Strong had been buried in the Abbey. And so Charles wanted to deface the memory of a lot of the prominent people during the interregnum, during Cromwell's interregnum. So Charles, you know, honed in on, one of the people he honed in on was William Strong. And so I thought, okay, here's a guy who literally suffered posthumously suffered an English king's act of revenge on him, and yet we know next to nothing about William Strong in our modern day. What on earth? Here's a guy who was a member of the Westminster Assembly. He had formative influence on the larger catechism. He wrote this amazing book that is so profound. He was well-known in his day, highly respected in his day. What happened? And so those are probably all the reasons why, or a lot of the reasons why I chose him, because when I started reading him, I realized that I'd stumbled across a guy who really had a lot of very important things to say.
Well, you know, the covenant of works is a phrase that brings confusion to a lot of people. Even pastors that I know who are outside of the Reformed faith, they misunderstand what people even would mean by that. And some have even dared to slander Reformed people as to teach that there was a time when people were saved through obedience and good works. Obviously, that could never be the case, since the fall in the garden, man has been totally depraved. So there's no way that we could ever do anything to please God, even present to him a faith that would save us without first being regenerate.
Amen.
Because of our depravity. But please explain this peculiar sounding phrase, the covenant of works.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, there's a couple ways you can understand the phrase, the covenant of works. You can understand it redemptive historically, and you can understand it kind of abstractly, or as an idea. So if you're going to understand it abstractly, I think Strong's got one of the best definitions of it. He says, quote, the covenant of works is that which teaches justification and life by doing, end quote. And that really is, you know, it in a nutshell if you're talking about it abstractly. So it's basically, I mean, if you if you wanted it even more simply than that, you'd just say it's work salvation. That's what it is. And you're absolutely right in saying that that's impossible because we're totally depraved. John Ball is another one of the Puritans. He said that in the covenant of works, God covenants with man to give him eternal life upon condition of perfect obedience. So, in the covenant of works, God covenants with man to give him eternal life upon condition of perfect obedience. So that really fits very well with what Strong is saying, that which teaches justification of life by doing. So you got two Puritans saying the same thing there. Thomas Watson says a similar thing. And the Westminster Confession, chapter 7, paragraph 2, it actually goes the redemptive historical route. So those two Puritans are talking about it kind of abstractly. It's basically, they describe it as that which teaches justification and life by doing. And then the Westminster Confession discusses it more redemptive historically. And it says that the first covenant made with man was a covenant of works, wherein life was promised to Adam. So there's the historicity. It's where he's talking about the garden now. Life was promised to Adam and in him to his posterity upon condition of perfect and personal obedience. So the covenant, or the Westminster Confession, discusses it redemptive historically, so that it's basically saying God made a covenant of works with Adam in the garden, but not just with Adam himself, but as a representative of all of his seed. So that basically means that everybody is born into this world in the covenant of works, but already condemned under its terms. So that there's the total depravity thing. So therefore, there's two senses in which the covenant of works still exists, or two senses in which it's abolished, I should say. It's abolished as to a viable means to eternal life at the fall. At the fall, when Adam fell, the covenant of works was no longer a way to gain eternal life. And you can just remember the flaming sword that's set up before the tree of life there at the end of Genesis 3. But this is the key thing for Strong. He says that the covenant of works remains as a condemning and killing agent in the world. It does so. It remains that way for all people who are in Adam. So I think the whole concept is profound, because what it really does, when you get down to it, is it gives an urgency to be evangelistic. It when you see a lost person, you're seeing somebody who is in relationship with God, but not a good one. When you see a lost person, you're seeing somebody who's in relationship with God and a relationship of condemnation. God's wrath kind of almost hangs like a black cloud over them, and they desperately need to be transferred from the first covenant into the covenant of grace. And that's one of the things I like best about covenant theology, is it puts the gospel right dead center at the center of your life and consciousness.
Well, the phrase that you used in the title of your book, that is really an eye-catching phrase. The backdrop for a glorious gospel is this covenant of works, according to William Strong, of course. Why is that? Why is the covenant of works a backdrop for a glorious gospel?
Sure, that's a great question, too. Wow, this is awesome. Well, I think that if you're talking about the fact, you know, a lot of people will talk about how we're, when we're saved from the curse of the law, right? So the law or the curse of the law becomes kind of a backdrop. You can think almost of Ephesians chapter 2, where Paul says that we're born dead in sins, wherein in time past we walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit, you know, you remember the passage. And then it says, but God in his glorious grace has lifted us up out of that situation. So you can just kind of get the feel for Ephesians chapter 2. And I think that the Puritans, and William Strong in particular, used the covenant of grace, or excuse me, used the covenant of works in a very similar way to what Paul's doing in Ephesians 2. In other words, we're born into this world condemned with Adam. We're, you know, in Adam's fall, we sinned all, as the old catechism used to say. And so there we are. We're born into this world. We're born to die. We're born dying. And that's because we're in this covenant. And so this idea of the curse of the law is a helpful way to describe the backdrop for the gospel, that we're condemned in Adam. But saying the covenant of works is that backdrop is a little more... maybe a little more precise in the way you describe it. Of course, the curse of the law is a precise way of describing it, too. But to say covenant means we're in this... It highlights the fact that we're in this relationship with God that is one of condemnation and death if we're in Adam. And therefore, it highlights the fact that this isn't just you know, some kind of abstract curse or abstract condition. No, it's a covenant. It's a relationship. It's a bond, a broken one, that we're in, and therefore God's wrath becomes more, I don't want to say justifiable, but it really is brought front and center, the fact, this issue of the wrath of God upon sinners. We are, I guess if you want to put it simply, we are covenant breakers in Adam, and that really highlights the need to be transferred from the covenant of works to the covenant of grace.
Now, don't you know you're not supposed to bring stuff like that up? You're never going to grow a church if you're talking about wrath and hell and sin. What's wrong with you? Haven't you watched Joel Osteen, for crying out loud? Well, that is a very common thought or belief or stance by many people in modern evangelicalism, and I'm not even talking exclusively about the more extreme heretics like Joel Osteen and his followers. I'm talking about just your average Christian who's conservative, who loves the Bible, who perhaps is not even living in an immoral way that we know of. They may be living in a very godly way, in an obedient way. But people are convinced that that we should not be mentioning this from the pulpit or from our evangelism. I can remember years ago when I was still working for WMCA Radio as an advertising agent, and one of my clients was my own church, Grace Reformed Baptist Church of Long Island in Merrick, New York. That was my church before I moved to Pennsylvania. And I took an excerpt on a sermon on hell from one of my pastors that was a really profound and powerful segment. And we were airing that for quite a while. And we were getting a ton of phone calls, people saying, "You don't hear people speak like that anymore. I got to come visit your church because I never hear anybody on the radio or TV really addressing this issue." It was amazing how many people responded so positively to something that is supposed to be keeping people away from church.
Yeah, and I think when you open yourself up to the law, and when the Spirit works on a person's heart, on an unbeliever's heart, and they suddenly realize their condemned state and the fact that God's wrath hangs over them, then it causes them, when they see the gospel, to really embrace it with their whole heart, and it makes an impact in their heart and in their mind, in their emotions. So they become passionate about Christ. And so to downplay wrath and the curse of the law and the covenant of works is to kind of make pabulum out of the gospel. We have got to recover this.
Yeah, and it diminishes when you remove the bad news from the good news. It removes or diminishes or dulls or really just makes impotent what good news it really is. Because if you don't know the horrible consequences to rejecting the good news, you're really never going to appreciate the good news at all.
Yeah, it's so true, man. That is so true. That, I, you know, having been a pastor for 14 years now, I would say that one of the most discouraging things about our modern scene in, you know, American Christianity is the fact that the good news doesn't make an impact on people. People can look at the most glorious things about God and about Christ and about salvation and just kind of blink at it and not be moved. And I think it's because of this. They don't realize, if they are saved, they don't realize what they were saved from, or maybe they aren't saved and they simply have never come under conviction of sin.
Well, we're going to our first station break, and if anybody would like to join us on the air with a question of your own, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com. 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 And as always, please give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. And please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Don't go away. We'll be right back with more of our guest, Tom Parr. We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family, Banu Gotti, owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gotti earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic. Please contact Dr. Gotti so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's L-E-E-S, drugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
Greetings in the matchless name of our Lord Jesus Christ. My name is Banu Gotti. I'm a pharmacist in New York, which is the epicenter of the latest crisis the world is going through. In Psalm 139, verse 14, the psalmist offers praise to the Lord like this: "I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and wondrous are your works that my soul knows very well." He saw God's goodness and mercy, kindness, and the beauty in what God has designed, and he has erupted into praise. In any crisis or problem, brothers and sisters, our only fallback position is to trust God's design. And once we do, there is nothing for us to do but to erupt in praise to Him. When the whole world is searching for a solution, God, in His infinite mercy, has given us what we need to address this illness, which can be very serious. Such is the beauty of His design. Knowing that design, how can we not erupt in praise to our great God like the psalmist did? May God bless you and give all of us wisdom to see greater things in His design. Thank you.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, Professor of Apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His holy word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
Your business shut down during the COVID-19 pandemic, depriving you of earning any money, causing you to default on your rent as you try to survive without income? Maybe you've had to close your doors for good. The good news, you thought, was that you purchased business interruption insurance as a part of your business liability policy with a major insurance company who told you they are a good neighbor, or that you would be in good hands. You filed a claim only to be told that it was denied due to the pandemic exclusion clause. The pandemic exclusion? Since 2006, most insurance companies added this clause to enable them to deny your income loss claims in the event of a worldwide pandemic. Do not give up. No matter what state you live in, call Buttafuoco & Associates now at 1-800-669-4878. Buttafuoco & Associates is a part of a large multi-district litigation, and they are working with lead counsel to bring what they believe will be a successful lawsuit for these claims. It is the best way for you to proceed. There's absolutely no risk to you. You do not have to pay them out of pocket, and there is no fee unless you recover on your claim. You need to call 1-800-669-4878 right now. Trust the law firm where the attorneys at one of the largest business firms on Long Island, New York, are sending their own clients for representation during this lawsuit. Buttafuoco & Associates, here to help business owners rebuild their lives in the wake of the pandemic. Call 1-800-669-4878.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest in buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
Chris Arns and host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, announcing a new website with an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World now at no charge for 90 days by going to getworldnow.com. That's getworldnow.com. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. There's no obligation and no credit card required. Visit GetWorldNow.com today. Also check out World News Group's podcast, The World and Everything in It, at WNG.org/podcast. That's W for World, N for News, G for Group, .org/podcast.
Lynbrook Baptist Church on 225 Earl Avenue in Lynbrook, Long Island, is teaching God's timeless truths in the 21st century.
Our church is far more than a Sunday worship service.
It's a place of learning where the scriptures are studied and the preaching of the gospel is clear and relevant.
It's like a gym where one can exercise their faith through community involvement.
It's like a hospital for wounded souls where one can find compassionate people and healing.
We're a diverse family of all ages,
enthusiastically serving our Lord Jesus Christ
in fellowship, play, and together.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bob Waldeman, and I invite you to come and join us here at Lynbrook Baptist Church and see all that a church can be.
Call Lynbrook Baptist at 516-599-9402. That's 516-599-9402, or visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm author Gary DeMar, president of American Vision, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Dan Lebenick of West Hills Baptist Church in Huntington Station, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Justin Peters of Justin Peters Ministries, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Reverend Buzz Taylor, author of God's Lawson, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Dr. William Webster, pastor of Grace Bible Church in Battleground, Washington, founder of the ministry Christian Resources. The NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Ryan Galan of Central Islip Community Church in Central Islip, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Brandon Smith of Trinity Reformed Baptist Church in Jackson, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB and tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com, that's nasbible.com, to place your order.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And don't forget, folks, for all your gift-giving needs for upcoming special events and holidays like Father's Day, like birthdays, wedding anniversaries, graduation gifts, back-to-school gifts, bereavement gifts, even stocking up early for Christmas gifts, please go to solid-ground-books.com for most or all of your gift-giving. Iron Sharpens Iron Radio depends upon Solid Ground Christian Books to exist. They are a primary financial supporter of this broadcast, and without them, barring a miracle of God, I don't think that we would have a program any longer. So please do some heavy patronage at solid-ground-books.com and buy books for all of your loved ones, whether they are Christian or not, because remember, although you'll be edifying greatly your brothers and sisters in Christ through books from Solid Ground Christian Books, you may also lead a lost person to Christ through the gospel found in within the pages of these great works from the past and present. So remember, solid-ground-books.com, and always remember to tell them that you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And if you just tuned in, our guest today on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is Thomas Parr, pastor of Cornerstone Baptist Church, a Reformed Baptist congregation in Anacortes, Washington, and we are discussing his book, Backdrop for a Glorious Gospel, The Covenant of Works According to William Strong, a book published by Reformation Heritage Books, also a very trustworthy publisher that you could always rely upon for the finest in Christian literature. And if you have a question, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. If death is the curse of the first covenant, the covenant of works, why do we die now? Why do we die all these years later in the 21st century, and why will we always die until Christ returns?
That's a great question. Well, I think, in fact, there's a point in Strong's book where he asks, are Christians under the covenant of grace and under the covenant of works at the same time? And his answer to that is no, Christians are in the covenant of grace, praise God. But And Jesus said that when we die, we won't even see death. So I guess, really, the answer to the question is we don't. Christians don't. Because, you know, there are three sorts of death. There's physical death, there's spiritual death, and there's eternal death. And when we become Christians, we're no longer spiritually dead. And we're not going to face eternal death, thank God. And we will face physical death, unless the Lord comes back first. But, you know, we are going to face physical death, but that's going to be reversed. So I guess I would say that in the most important sense, we aren't dead, and we don't face it, thank God. But we will face physical death, but that has already been, you know, God's already planned to reverse it, and we can look forward to our resurrection body. So I think there's something profound and beautiful about the fact that even though death still does hold sway over Christians in a sense, it doesn't in another sense, and in the most important sense.
And this is one thing that's very mind-boggling. I can't understand, other than the depravity of man being at the root of this, but it still is strange, even knowing that this is coming from a depraved heart and mind. Why do people in Adam prefer the first covenant, the covenant of works?
Oh, wow, that's a great question. Strong spends a lot of time on that. And I think if you wanted to put it in the most simple way possible, they are trying to uphold their own righteousness. They're working very hard to, I guess a modern phrase that people use a lot these days is virtue signaling. And a person in Adam is committed to that because he has to appear to be righteous to other people. And that matters deeply to them. And so their whole life really is spent trying to convince other people how great they are, to get pats on the back. And so there's a whole, and Strong gets into this in his book, there's a whole psychology to being in the covenant of works. And it's one where Paul describes the Pharisees as they've rejected the right, in Romans chapter 10, they've rejected the righteousness of God. They're trying to establish their own righteousness. And that is why they prefer it. They don't want to have to accept that they are totally depraved. They don't want to have to accept that they're condemned.
Now, one case that would make it a stranger or perhaps harder to make that point, do people who are lost, who are professing Christians, who believe in the opposite of works righteousness, which is works righteousness is a damning heresy, but on the opposite end of the spectrum is those that believe in licentiousness, not barring you from heaven. They believe they are against the lordship, the necessity of embracing the lordship of Christ. They militate against the necessity of repentance, and they militate against a good tree bearing good fruit. That if we are truly justified by faith alone, even though we are justified by grace through faith alone, we will do good works. It's not a question. It's not a debatable issue. It's not some truly saved people will do good works and some won't. Everyone who is truly born again will produce good works, not as a means to pleasing God and entering heaven and satisfying his wrath, but as a, just as an evidence that they are saved. Why do people in that category of Christianity, and I'm not saying that every single person who is wrong theologically on this, I'm not saying that there are many people at Dallas Theological Seminary who on paper believe these things, or at least I don't know how popular that is today there, but they were at one time the headquarters of militating against lordship salvation. But for those who are lost who believe that, why would they be in a category of actually preferring the first covenant?
Yeah, wow. That's great. Well, what you're talking about is what people might call cheap grace, or the Puritans would have called antinomianism.
Right.
People who are against the law. And I would say that there is a very strong but subtle interaction between legalism and antinomianism. And I think people pendulum swing back and forth between them. People who are legalists oftentimes will leap off into antinomianism at points where it's convenient for them, and vice versa. In fact, I've met some pretty serious antinomians, or people who have had those those tendencies, and they will talk very legal at certain points in their discussion. What they don't want, they're not so much opposed to law. In fact, they can be very proud about their own goodness, but they just don't want God's law, and they particularly don't like the idea that God's law is still an authority. And so I think that even antinomians are still thinking in terms of their own goodness, inherent goodness. As Strong talks about how subtle a works orientation can be. Like he'll even say things like this. He'll say, if you're a Christian, and let me just repeat this to anybody who's listening here. Let me just directly address the audience here. And this is directly from Strong. And he's talking about how subtle a works orientation can be. And he basically says, if you think that your own personal approach to God is basically, if your conception of it, your relationship with God, isn't consciously dependent upon the mediator, Jesus Christ. In other words, if you don't feel the need for a mediator, if you do a good work and you expect it to be accepted before God simply because you did it, that's the covenant. That is a mentality that is part and parcel with the covenant of works. Because what does it mean to be in the covenant of grace except to recognize we are totally depraved, we have no hope in that covenant, there's no hope of works righteousness, there's nothing in my hand I bring but simply to the cross I cling, and so I'm going to God through a mediator. There is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. So I would just say that people who are antinomians, they probably don't recognize the fact that they still are in that, you know, many of them, I should say, who still are in that covenant of works. And if they would really look at their hearts, they'd see that they really still are upholding their own righteousness and trying to establish it just according to their own terms, not God's terms.
By the way, we have a listener, Scobie, from Oak Harbor, Washington, who says that he's thrilled that you're on the show today.
Well, tell him hi for me. He's a great guy.
I will. And, well, he hopefully heard you. Just say it now. We're going to go to our midway break right now. The midway break is our longer than normal break because Grace Life Radio in Lake City, Florida, who airs this program twice a day in a pre-recorded format, in morning drive and in the evening, they require of us a longer break in the middle of the show because in order to be faithful to FCC regulations, they have to localize this show to Lake City, Florida with their own public service announcements and other things they broadcast that localize the show to Lake City, Florida. So please be patient with us as we take this longer than normal break. And use the time wisely. Please write down information provided by our advertisers so that you can more frequently and successfully patronize them, which means they will more than likely stick around as our advertisers. And that means that hopefully we will remain on the air for a longer future because we depend upon our advertisers and the finances that come through them to exist. So please write down that information from as much of the advertising you hear as possible. And also write down a question or two to our guest today, Tom Parr, and send it to chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Don't go away. We're going to be right back with Thomas Parr and our discussion on backdrop for a glorious gospel, the covenant of works, according to William Strong, after these messages from our sponsors. Iron Sharpens Iron Radio depends upon the financial support of fine Christian organizations to remain on the air, like the Historical Bible Society. The Historical Bible Society maintains a collection of Christian books, manuscripts, and Bibles of historical significance spanning nearly 1,000 years. The mission of HBS is the preservation and public display of ancient scripture, dissemination of scripture, to provide tools equipping believers in Christian apologetics with evidence for the Bible's reliability, and to introduce Reformation literature and Christian art to a broader audience. Since 2004, HBS has toured schools and churches throughout the Northeast United States, reaching thousands of believers and non-believers alike who are hungry for knowledge of the Bible. HBS's founder, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, is committed to sharing this collection along with an inspirational historical message that will captivate you and your church. Come journey through their website, historicalbiblesociety.org. The collection includes a complete 11th century Bible, an actual page of the Gutenberg Bible from 1455, the first book ever printed, the Geneva Bible, the 1611 King James Bible, and much, much more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org today. Thank you, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, for your faithful support of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Hi. Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
As host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I frequently get requests from listeners for church recommendations. A church I've been strongly recommending as far back as the 1980s is Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how He shall be worshipped and how He shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. Grace Covenant Baptist Church endeavors to maintain a God-centered focus, reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Baptism and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship, performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey at gcbcnj.squarespace.com. That's gcbcnj.squarespace.com, or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn that you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com, and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Iron Sharpens Iron welcomes Solid Rock Remodeling to our family of sponsors. Serving South Central Pennsylvania, Solid Rock Remodeling is focused on discovering, understanding, and exceeding your expectations. They deliver personalized project solutions with exceptional results. Solid Rock Remodeling offers a full range of home renovations, including kitchen and bath remodeling, decks, porches, windows and doors, roof and siding, and more. For a clear, detailed professional estimate, call this trustworthy team of problem solvers who provide superior results that stand the test of time. Call Solid Rock Remodeling at 717-697-1981, 717-697-1981, or visit
SolidRockRemodeling.com. That's SolidRockRemodeling.com. Solid Rock Remodeling, bringing new life to your home.
Every day at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ, staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005. The publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries and the Dividing Line webcast here. Although God has brought me all over the globe for many years to teach, preach, and debate at numerous venues, some of my very fondest memories are from those precious times of fellowship with Pastor Rich Jensen and the brethren at Hope Reformed Baptist Church, now located at their new beautiful facilities in Coram, Long Island, New York. I've had the privilege of opening God's Word from their pulpit on many occasions, have led youth retreats for them, and have always been thrilled to see their members filling many seats at my New York debates. I do not hesitate to highly recommend Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, to anyone who wants to be accurately taught, discipled, and edified by the Holy Scriptures, and to be surrounded by truly loving and caring brothers and sisters in Christ. I also want to congratulate Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram for the recent appointment of Pastor Rich Jensen's co-elder, Pastor Christopher McDowell. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, that you heard about them from James White on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family, Banu Gotti, owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gotti earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic. Please contact Dr. Gotti so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's L-E-E-S, drugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
Greetings in the matchless name of our Lord Jesus Christ. My name is Banu Gotti. I'm a pharmacist in New York, which is the epicenter of the latest crisis the world is going through. In Psalm 139, verse 14, the psalmist offers praise to the Lord like this: I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made, and wondrous are your works that my soul knows very well. He saw God's goodness and mercy, kindness, and the beauty in what God has designed, and he has erupted into praise. In any crisis or problem, brothers and sisters, our only fallback position is to trust God's design. And once we do, there is nothing for us to do but to erupt in praise to him. When the whole world is searching for a solution, God, in his infinite mercy, has given us what we need to address this illness, which can be very serious. Such is the beauty of his design. Knowing that design, how can we not erupt in praise to our great God like the psalmist did? May God bless you and give all of us wisdom to see greater things in his design. Thank you.
Your business shut down during the COVID-19 pandemic, depriving you of earning any money, causing you to default on your rent as you try to survive without income? Maybe you've had to close your doors for good. The good news, you thought, was that you purchased business interruption insurance as a part of your business liability policy with a major insurance company who told you they are a good neighbor, or that you would be in good hands. You filed a claim only to be told that it was denied due to the pandemic exclusion clause. The pandemic exclusion? Since 2006, most insurance companies added this clause to enable them to deny your income loss claims in the event of a worldwide pandemic. Do not give up. No matter what state you live in, call Buttafuoco & Associates now at 1-800-669-4878. Buttafuoco & Associates is a part of a large multi-district litigation, and they are working with lead counsel to bring what they believe will be a successful lawsuit for these claims. It is the best way for you to proceed. There's absolutely no risk to you. You do not have to pay them out of pocket, and there is no fee unless you recover on your claim. You need to call 1-800-669-4878 right now. Trust the law firm where the attorneys at one of the largest business firms on Long Island, New York, are sending their own clients for representation during this lawsuit, Buttafuoco & Associates, here to help business owners rebuild their lives in the wake of the pandemic. Call 1-800-669-4878.
Hi, I'm Buzz Taylor, frequent co-host with Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I would like to introduce you to my good friends Todd and Patty Jennings at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Todd and Patty specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable to everyone. Since 1987, The family-owned and operated book service has sought to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means that you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting material promoted by the secular book vendors. Their website is cvbbs.com. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence as Todd and Patty work in service to you, the church, and to Christ. That's Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Let Todd and Patty know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And don't forget, you can call cvbbs.com if you prefer ordering online. If you prefer calling over ordering online, I mean, at 800-656-0231. 800-656-0231. You can only successfully call that phone line Monday through Friday between 10 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time, because no one mans that phone line outside of those days and hours, and there is no voicemail. So that's 800-656-0231, Monday through Friday, only between 10 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Always tell them that you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Before we return to Thomas Parr to continue discussing Backdrop for a Glorious Gospel, The Covenant of Works According to William Strong, I have just a few very important announcements to make. First of all, the third day of our three-day debate between full preterist Don K. Preston and former full preterist Samuel M. Frost is taking place tomorrow. That's Friday the 5th of June, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And this program, after our debaters give a recap of the previous 2 days of the debate, the previous 2 days, by the way, were last Thursday and Friday. And if you want to hear those recordings, they are now posted on ironsharpensironradio.com in the past shows podcast section. But tomorrow, our debaters will do a fairly brief recap of those 2 days, and then the majority of time that we will spend for the remainder of those 2 hours will be solely on audience questions, because we hardly had any time to take a significant number of questions the last 2 days, because our debaters had so much they needed to say. So hopefully you will be able to get your questions squeezed into the list of many that we've already got pouring in. And so that is the debate on full preterism, Friday, June 5th, right here on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And just a brief definition for those who don't understand or never heard that phrase, full preterism. It's also known as hyper preterism, and it's known by many other labels. But it is a view that all of the prophecies of the New Testament have been fulfilled already on AD 70, and that would even include the return of Christ. There is no future return of Christ, according to these folks, and there is no future bodily resurrection of the dead either. And there are some other things that may blow your mind that they believe that are outside of historic Christianity, especially biblically Orthodox Christianity. Including Don K. Preston's belief that Jesus Christ no longer has a physical body. But that's a few of many of the things they believe that Sam Frost, who once believed those things as well, will seek to expose his error tomorrow, and we hope that you tune in. Also, folks, if you love this show and you don't want it to disappear from the airwaves, you love to share the free downloadable MP3s of interviews with family, friends, and loved ones, you love winning free books and Bibles when you send in questions to the show, especially when we're interviewing authors, you love the fact that we cover topics and interview guests that very often are never heard anywhere else other than this program. Well, if you want us to stick around, please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now, and you could donate instantly with a debit or credit card. If you prefer mailing in a check the old-fashioned way via snail mail, an address will appear on the screen where you can send those checks made out to Iron Sharp and Zion Radio when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com. As I try to remind you every day, please never siphon money away from your regular giving to your local church where you are a member in order to give to Iron Sharp and Zion Radio, especially during this time of the pandemic when many churches have been hit very hard financially. I mean, some have even had to close their doors. They've been hit so hard. Please, never do that. Never siphon money away from your regular giving to give to us, and never put your family in financial jeopardy by giving to Iron Sharp and Zion Radio. Those two things are commands of God in the Scriptures, providing for your church and your family. Providing for this show is obviously not a command of God, but if you are financially blessed above and beyond your ability to obey those two commands, you have extra money, perhaps that you are saving because you haven't been going to your favorite sporting events, you haven't been going to concerts, you haven't been going out fine dining, you haven't been going to theatrical performances or movies or Bible conferences, well, please use some of that money, or all of that money for that matter, to help us remain on the air if you love the show and don't want us to disappear. It's ironsharpensironradio.com. Click support, then click to donate now, to donate instantly. And also, if you want to advertise with us, as long as you are promoting something that is compatible with what we believe, it doesn't have to be, you don't have to believe identically with me to advertise with me, but you need to be promoting something that's compatible with what I believe. If that is the case, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. I will help you launch an ad campaign as quickly as possible because we are in urgent need of your advertising dollars as well. We have suffered financially because we lost, and I'm hoping this is just temporarily, we lost two of our largest financial supporters because their businesses have been hit hard from the hysteria associated with the coronavirus. And they cannot continue supporting us financially until they get back on their feet. So I'm asking you to please help us make up for that lost income. And I thank all of you who have already been doing that. There are so many of you that I wish I could get a chance to meet all of you face to face because you've been such an important blessing in my life, the way you have demonstrated generosity in your giving to this program. Some of you loyal, faithful givers every month, and some of you, as one woman in Austin, Texas, that I've never heard from before, who gave a gift so large that it broke all donation records to Iron Sharp and Zion Radio. But whoever you are, whether your gifts are small or large, we need them to remain on the air, and I thank you, and I thank God for you, for believing in this show and enjoying it so much that you would share some of your hard-earned money with us to remain in existence. Thank you so much. I'll never be able to adequately thank you. Also, folks, if you are not a member of a local Bible-believing church and you're having a hard time finding a church where you live, anywhere in the world, I have lists of biblically faithful churches all over the planet Earth, and I've already helped many people in this audience find churches near where they live, and many of them have joined these churches. Many of them have referred them to other folks that they know who need churches, and sometimes they visit these churches on vacation. But if you need a church for any reason, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put "I need a church" in the subject line. That's also the email address where you can send in a question for Thomas Parr to answer on the backdrop for A Glorious Gospel, The Covenant of Works, according to William Strong. And our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com, and because of the fact that Tom is a Reformed Baptist pastor, we will also broaden the scope of questions that you can ask theologically, so you don't have to be exactly on topic to ask a question. We just prefer that. And before I even go to an audience question Pastor Parr. I just want to read an endorsement from someone who is one of my favorite guests here on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I'm speaking of Dr. Michael A.G. Haken. And he says, up until the Restoration, William Strong's grave was in Westminster Abbey. But with the return of Charles II, his body was disinterred and unceremoniously dumped into the obscurity of a mass grave. This small fact well illustrates the way that Strong, once influential enough to be buried in the capital's leading church, has disappeared beneath the soil of history. This work by Tom Parr helps recover not only Strong's memory, but also his thinking on covenant theology in his magnum opus. This is not only a fresh study, but one that proves to be vital for understanding the way that the covenant is threaded through the entire warp and woof of Puritan thinking. Once again, that's Dr. Michael A.G. Haken, Chair and Professor of Church History at the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. And I do love that brother and look forward to his return to the show. We have a question from John in Bangor, Maine. And John states that I know of Reformed Baptists who believe that the covenant between the nation of Israel and God in the Old Testament was a covenant of works, but it was not salvific. It was not permanent. It was only a temporary and earthly covenant, which is why if you disobeyed the laws of the Old Covenant, you were excommunicated from the called out Israel and possibly could even be executed. Do you disagree with this view?
Well, that's a great question, a very informed question. Not necessarily. I would say that the situation is far more nuanced than that particular view. That is a common Reformed Baptist view. Not all Reformed Baptists hold to it, but many do. I would just say that there was typological significance to the institutions in ancient Israel. For example, the temple and all the sacrifices that went on there. And that people in the Old Testament, those upon whom the Spirit moved, were aware of the fact that those institutions were pointing forward for them to a greater reality. In other words, believers like David, Moses himself, believers in the Old Testament were looking forward to Christ, and they knew that a lot of these institutions were pointing towards Christ, just like the New Testament tells us they do. And so, no, I don't think that the Mosaic Covenant was purely a political, earthly thing. I think that it had that side to it. Yes, definitely, it had that side to it. But it also was a spiritual covenant, and that it was offering Christ to believers on whom the Spirit moved. So I would say that, yeah, I mean, I agree in essence with what they're saying, but I guess I would disagree if they said that it was exclusively only a this-world covenant.
Well, thanks, John. Please give us your full mailing address in Bangor, Maine, because guess what? You have won a free copy of Tom Parr's latest book, Backdrop for a Glorious Gospel, The Covenant of Works, according to William Strong. And we thank our friends at Reformation Heritage Books for their generosity in providing these giveaway copies to listeners with questions. We also want to thank Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, cvbbs.com. We'll be the ones mailing these copies out to you at no expense to you or to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Our next listener is Grady in Asheboro, North Carolina, another very faithful listener to this program and also a very generous supporter financially of this program. And Grady says, greetings, brothers Chris and Tom. If I'm understanding you, this is the theology that the Puritans taught, which is actually what our Lord Jesus said when he stated in Matthew chapter 5, verse 17, that he came to fulfill the law, not to abolish it. It's also what is taught through the Holy Scriptures and what Jonathan Edwards was trying to get people to see in his message, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. We're under God's wrath unless we repent from our sins, turn to Christ, and through grace by faith follow him in obedience to his word. This is God's covenant works, right? So do you agree with that statement?
I think so. I would just say that if you want to define what the covenant of works is, I would stick with Strong's definition. He just said that it's that which teaches justification and life by doing. So the covenant of works is works righteousness. So if somebody came along and said today, you need to obey to be saved, that's heresy, that's wrong. We can't, because we're under the broken covenant of works. You can't. Strong talks about how wrong it is to try to patch up the broken covenant. It's broken and it only brings condemnation. So, yeah, the law, if you're an unbeliever and you come into contact with the law, then you should feel the wrath of God coming near, because you're in Adam and the law is only going to condemn you. But that, if the Spirit moves upon you by God's grace, that should drive you to Jesus Christ, because there's a second covenant, and you need grace in Christ to be saved from your sins.
Thanks, Grady, and make sure we have your full mailing address in Asheboro, North Carolina, because you've won a free copy of Pastor Thomas's book as well. We have RJ in White Plains, New York, who says, I have heard some dispensationalists, not all, I don't want to broad brush, but I've heard some dispensationalists teach that during the Great Tribulation, which they view as a future event, that God's plan of salvation after the rapture will be a works righteousness salvation. Can we say that anyone teaching this is a heretic, even though they believe that before that and after that, it is purely of grace through faith alone?
Wow. Well, one of the things I've realized one of the things I've realized about studying dispensationalism is that there's been a lot of different sorts of dispensationalism. So let's just say, I guess I would just prefer to set aside that term and
right.
deal with the particular issue, and that is, I would say that it's wrong any time after the fall to say that anybody is saved by their works. So, yes, I would say it's wrong.
Now, when you say that before the fall, this is an acceptable view to have, could we actually say that Adam and Eve were saved by their obedience and good works, because they were not lost? They were created perfect, and they were sinless. They obviously did not yet have sin, which means that they were not like us who had to inherit it. They were created good, so isn't it true that they became lost rather than were lost needing to be saved through their obedience?
Yeah, they had a provisional sort of righteousness when they were made. It was a true, genuine goodness, but it was provisional in the sense that it was mutable. It could be lost, depending on what they chose to do about God's command. So, yeah, they were given a covenant of works. Some of the Puritans called it a covenant of life because they were focused on the reward. So if you called it a covenant of life, you'd be focusing on the fact that it offered life by works. And if you call it a covenant of works, then you'd be focusing on the condition more, and or the stipulation more. So, they were definitely created good, but mutably good, depending on what they did there in that kind of probationary time there in the garden. But once they fell, I just love how Genesis 3 works. If you read through Genesis 3, you'll see that God gives Genesis 3:15, the promise about the seed of the woman who would come and crush the serpent's head, that glorious promise. He gave that promise before he even spoke his words of judgment to the man and the woman. So it's this remarkable thing that immediately upon the fall, God began preaching grace in Christ. So he began giving intimations and hints of that glorious gospel, that glorious covenant of grace in Christ. So people who, you know, even Adam and Eve, though they were given that covenant of works, but they fell, and therefore they broke it and brought themselves and all of us with them into condemnation. Instantly, God began offering them hope in Christ.
And we have to go to our final break right now. It'll be a lot shorter than the last ones. So please, if you intend to send in a question, do it rather quickly because we're rapidly running out of time. We have a little less than a half hour left in the show. So send those emails to chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com. And as always, give us your first name, at least your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Pastor Nate Pickowitz of Harvest Bible Church in Gilmanton Ironworks, New Hampshire, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rich Jensen of Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Sule Prince of Oakwood Wesleyan Church in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor John Sampson of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck Volo of New Life Community Church in Kingsville, Maryland, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Steve Herford of Eastport Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Roy Owens Jr. of the Church at Friendship in Hockley, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com, that's nasbible.com, to place your order.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, Professor of Apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I have been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and his doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family, Banu Gotti, owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gotti earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic. Please contact Dr. Gotti so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's L-E-E-S drugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
Greetings in the matchless name of our Lord Jesus Christ. My name is Banu Gotti. I'm a pharmacist in New York, which is the epicenter of the latest crisis the world is going through. In Psalm 139, verse 14, the psalmist offers praise to the Lord like this: I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and wondrous are your works that my soul knows very well. He saw God's goodness and mercy, kindness, and the beauty in what God has designed, and he has erupted into praise. In any crisis or problem, brothers and sisters, our only fallback position is to trust God's design. And once we do, there is nothing for us to do but to erupt in praise to him. When the whole world is searching for a solution, God, in his infinite mercy, has given us what we need to address this illness, which can be very serious. Such is the beauty of his design. Knowing that design, how can we not erupt in praise to our great God like the psalmist did? May God bless you and give all of us wisdom to see greater things in his design. Thank you.
Was your business shut down during the COVID-19 pandemic, depriving you of earning any money, causing you to default on your rent as you try to survive without income? Maybe you've had to close your doors for good. The good news, you thought, was that you purchased business interruption insurance as a part of your business liability policy with a major insurance company who told you they are a good neighbor, or that you would be in good hands. You filed a claim only to be told that it was denied due to the pandemic exclusion clause. The pandemic exclusion? Since 2006, most insurance companies added this clause to enable them to deny your income loss claims in the event of a worldwide pandemic. Do not give up. No matter what state you live in, call Buttafuoco & Associates now at 1-800-669-4878. Buttafuoco & Associates is a part of a large multi-district litigation, and they are working with lead counsel to bring what they believe will be a successful lawsuit for these claims. It is the best way for you to proceed. There's absolutely no risk to you. You do not have to pay them out of pocket, and there is no fee unless you recover on your claim. You need to call 1-800-669-4878 right now. Trust the law firm where the attorneys at one of the largest business firms on Long Island, New York, are sending their own clients
for representation during this lawsuit, Buttafuoco and Associates, here to help business owners rebuild their lives in the wake of the pandemic. Call 1-800-669-4878.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Listening to Christian radio can be a big gamble spiritually. Even many of the major Christian networks that include excellent biblically faithful teachers on their lineup sadly often also include the worst of doctrinally dangerous heretics. If you are a lover of the doctrines of sovereign grace, you need not fear listening 24 hours a day to firstloveradio.org. They feature Christ-centered programming from Reformed pastors and teachers you can rely upon for theological soundness and biblical faithfulness, such as Dr. W.R. Downing, Dr. Peter Masters, Pastor Joe Jackowitz, Pastor Robert Gifford, Al Martin, Edward Del Cor, and more. FirstLoveRadio.org also live streams my Iron Sharpens Iron radio program daily. Please stick around on FirstLoveRadio.org after Iron Sharpens Iron radio is over to continue being blessed by the unwavering proclamation of the gospel of sovereign grace. Spread the word about firstloveradio.org. Welcome back. This is Chris Arnzen, and if you've just tuned us in, our guest today for the entire program has been and will continue to be Thomas Parr, who is pastor of Cornerstone Baptist Church, a Reformed Baptist congregation in Anacortes, Washington, and he is contributing editor to the Lexham Context Commentary and author of the volume on the Gospel of Mark in that series. Today we are discussing his book, Backdrop for a Glorious Gospel, The Covenant of Works According to William Strong. Now, doing some recap, how is sin irritated by the law?
That's excellent. Excellent question. Strong really hones in on that in one of the chapters in the book. He uses Romans 7 as his touchstone passage to discuss it. Romans 7 basically says that when we were in the flesh, the law stirred up sin in our hearts. And I think that's Romans 7:4 or maybe 7:5. But so Strong talks about that. He says that people who are unbelievers, when they come into contact with the law, because it's written on our hearts, it has, you know, God, it's God's law, it has a lordly aspect to it, and therefore it comes with strength to us. In other words, we sense powerfully in our own souls an urgency to keep these laws. I mean, we want to do right. There's a part of us that wants to do right, even when we're fallen, and that shows in our conscience how strong it can be. But what happens is, when we come into contact with the law, our fallen nature, our total depravity, responds to it by, number one, by wanting to obey it and condemning ourselves when we don't obey it, but then not wanting to obey it because we want our own freedoms. We want to do what we want to do, and we start hating it. And what ends up happening is sin actually gets irritated or exacerbated in our lives when we come into contact with God's commandments. And along with that comes a soul-destroying hypocrisy, too, because even as we, you know, try to find loopholes for the flesh to operate, we don't want to appear bad, and so we, you know, lacquer on layers of whitewash so that we become pharisaical hypocrites with our cup that's filthy inside but all nice on the outside. So it really is an amazing read. When you read through Strong on this, it's shocking and kind of horrifying because he has such, I don't know, just insight into fallen human nature. And, you know, I think he's really just hitting the nail on the head. I think you can see this sort of thing throughout fallen human society, where there's a soul-destroying hypocrisy that comes along with an actual increase of sin when people take the law seriously.
We have Ronald in Eastern Suffolk County, Long Island, who says, I have heard many Christians, even some Calvinists, say that fear of hell is not what the Bible teaches as the main way we are compelled to follow Christ, but the love of Christ itself is what compels us. How do you respond to this?
Yeah, it's good. Well, I think certainly, absolutely, after we're believers, perfect love casts out fear. 1 John chapter 4. And I think that's utterly crucial to get to the center of our being. When we're, you know, if a person has been condemned by the law and seen the wrath of God and fled to Christ and found refuge in Christ, I think one of the most important things that must happen as a Christian grows is to get to the point where he feels safe in God's hand, from whose hand no one can pluck him. And he feels that, and he senses it. And it's like a marinade. He marinades himself in it, and it just permeates his soul, so that he knows that he is God's child. The Spirit witnesses in his heart that he is a child of God. He knows because he sees the fruits of the Spirit in his life that only the Spirit can produce. And he knows because he's clinging to the sacrifice of Christ as his only hope for salvation. And so he has this massive sense of assurance and of the love of God for him in his heart. And that's where really all of us as Christians need to get to. We need to get to the point where we are convinced that God has loved us from before the foundation of the world, and that he brought Christ into the world to pay the penalty for our sins, and then he gave us faith to believe the gospel in our own personal history. And now he's going to continue that good work all the way to the end, to the day of Christ. So yeah, I totally think that for Christians it's utterly crucial to serve God out of love, deep and passionate love and joy, without fear. And so I think that the fellow who wrote that question is really, I think, hitting the nail on the head. That's where we all need to be. It's an exciting thing to know that God wants us to serve the Lord with joy.
Well, thank you, Ronald. And you have also won a free copy of Backdrop for a Glorious Gospel. So please make sure we have your full mailing address in Eastern Suffolk County, Long Island. Tell us how all those in Christ are transferred from the New Covenant.
Or from the First Covenant, right.
Right, I'm sorry, First Covenant.
Yeah, well, you know, he Strong focuses on Colossians chapter 1, where it says that we've been transferred, or the King James says translated, but the idea is transferal. We've been transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. And Strong does a lot of really phenomenal exegesis showing that that's talking about transferal covenants. And it's remarkable because the passage itself says the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of God's dear Son. And Strong points out, I think very well, that the kingdom of darkness, being in the kingdom of darkness, is basically being under Satan's thumb, so to speak, in the covenant of works, where Satan, as an accuser, presses God's law against oneself. Against the person in that covenant. And so to be transferred out of that power of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son is the transferal that he's talking about there, that Strong is talking about. And so you're literally taken out of the old covenant and placed in the new. You're taken out of the covenant to works and placed in the covenant to grace. And you no longer have Satan as your master who is pressing God's law against you at God's bar. And now you're in Christ, who is your intercessor and who is your advocate. It's just a beautiful thing. So if you're a believer in Christ, it's just it's something that you can just praise God for every day of your life, that you were in this terrible state in Adam, but now in Christ it's completely opposite state, opposite condition. So, yeah, that's another great theme and strong.
We have Susan Margaret from Dauphin County, Pennsylvania, who wants to know, can we not convey the idea to the lost that they are sinners because of what they have violated, which is clearly taught in the New Testament, rather than having to use the law from the Old Covenant, the Decalogue, to do so?
Well, you know, that's an interesting question, and it raises all sorts of thoughts in my mind. It probably isn't a good idea to start saying, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. You know, just start listing commandments. But I think that because the law is written on people's hearts, we do have some common ground with them, even though they suppress the truth and unrighteousness, as the Bible teaches in Romans 1. So I think that if we have a good enough relationship with a lost person where we can actually talk about our consciences, where we can actually talk about how, you know, just the concept of guilt, the moment we start talking about our consciences and standards that we have for ourselves that come from God's law, and maybe past experiences where we've blown it, and where we've sinned, we're in that realm already. The moment we start talking about that, we're in that realm. We don't have to put it in biblical language or language that's going to be off-putting in any way, shape, or form. But I definitely think we can talk about the law without actually quoting awkward-sounding statements. And another thing too is anytime we talk about a virtue, like, I can't read 1 Corinthians 13 without instantly being convicted of my own lack of love. I mean, Paul says, love is patient, love is kind, it does not boast, and so on. And the moment I start reading that or even thinking about it, I think, okay, I'm not patient enough. I obviously am, I need to learn how to love better. And see, that's, even though we're talking about a positive virtue, love, the flip side of it is the law. I mean, that's the law. Love is patient. And so we can talk about the law in very positive ways, like, you know, just talking about love is patient, love is kind. I think that it's definitely, we definitely need to talk about the law with unbelievers. We definitely need to talk about guilt. We need to talk about condemnation. But I think we can do it in ways that they totally, perfectly understand.
Well, Susan Margaret, you have also won a free copy of the book we are addressing, Backdrop for a Glorious Gospel. So make sure we have your mailing address. And one thing I wanted to ask myself is that if the law as a covenant is abolished to all in Christ, why do we perpetuate using the law? We use it as a law. We use the law to see where we have transgressed from obedience to God. We use the law in pointing out to people that they are sinners. Why is the law still a part of our vocabulary in life? And of course, many among us are even Sabbatarian, so they're even obeying the law to keep his day holy. So why is it that this is a perpetual theme within the life of many Reformed Christians and others if the law as a covenant is abolished?
That's a phenomenal question. It really just comes down to Calvin's third use of the law. I think Samuel Bolton, the Puritan, said that the law in its condemnation drives us to Christ, who gives us the Spirit and sends us back to the law, empowered now to obey it. And so I think that quote from Bolton is just golden. I think it's found in his book, The True Bounds of Christian Freedom. It's a phenomenal Puritan paperback from Banner of Truth, but that's it. I think that the issue is that we're free from the law as condemnation, and so we're free from it as a covenant of condemnation. But then God, in the covenants of grace, gives us empowerment through the Holy Spirit, through our union with Christ, in order to obey the law. And yet we can do it completely differently now, because now that we're in Christ, we don't need to fear that if we blow it or if we fall short, which we inevitably will because there's no perfection found in this life, we can know that Christ's blood covers us and that we're not operating under the rigor that people operate under in the Old Covenant. In the New Covenant, in the Covenant of Grace, there's magnanimity. He accepts our imperfect service because of our accepted persons in Christ. And that is such a glorious concept.
So therefore, to all in Christ, the first covenant serves the second.
Amen. There you go. You're following the table of contents of the book. I've got you. I know what you're doing.
Well, obviously, this is a good sequel.
Yes.
And if you could, Joel Beakey, who's the founder of this publisher, Reformation Heritage Books, he is known for being a lover of and being passionate about and being personally committed to what is known as experimental covenant theology, experimental Calvinism. It's also known as experiential Calvinism.
Yeah.
Can you please explain what this is and why it's so important?
Yeah. Well, there's a tendency in anybody who thinks deeply about theology to kind of make it abstract and to kind of lose touch with the fact that when we are talking theology, we're talking thoughts about God in whom we are in a relationship, or with whom we're in a relationship. And so Dr. Beakey is one of my favorite people because he's so full of joy, and I just love that. But he is so focused on helping people to see that theology is not, they're not just ideas. They are, of course, but that we need to take these ideas and experience them in our souls and use them as fodder for joy, use them in relationship with God in prayer, and they should dramatically affect our lives. It's really more than just saying we need to apply principles in the Bible or apply theology. It's more than that. It needs to affect our emotional state, our psychological state, our actions. It needs to be like, as Sinclair Ferguson puts it, a tincture that takes the metallic hardness out of our souls and puts a sweetness there. I mean, it really is a full-bodied view of how theology should affect all of life.
Well, we are out of time, and I want to make sure that our listeners have all of the contact information that they need for you. First of all, the Cornerstone Baptist Church of Anacortes, Washington. And I probably mispronounced that city at least 10 times during this broadcast.
It's Anacortes.
Anacortes. That website is cornerstoneanacortes.com. And Anacortes is spelled A-N-A-C-O-R-T-E-S. cornerstoneanacortes.com. And let's not forget about our dear friends at Reformation Heritage Books who provided us with the free giveaway copies of your book today. Their website is heritagebooks.org, heritagebooks.org, and then I have a request for you or from you, or no, for you. I'm not meaning you, Tom. I'm talking about the audience. When you're purchasing this book and any book by Reformation Heritage Books, if you could first go to heritagebooks.org, look for all the things that you want to buy, and then purchase them from cvbbs.com, who is actually a sponsor of this program, and they both win in that way, because cvbbs.com has to purchase the books from Reformation Heritage Books anyway. So please first go to heritagebooks.org and then purchase the books from cvbbs.com. But it's been a joy having you on the program for the first time, and I can already tell that you're a perfect match for this show, and I would love to have you return in the future. And I hope that all of you tune in tomorrow for day number 3 of the debate on full preterism between Don K. Preston and Samuel Frost. And I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.
Oh, amen. Thank you so much.
Thank you, brother.